step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money. But are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today. Welcome. It is Verdict with Senator Ted Cruz. Ben Ferguson with you as well. Nice to have you with us. And Senator, I just want to know, have you ever paid your dad $49,910 in rent to live in his house at any point in your life? I just think we should make sure we get a good answer on this.
Look, to be honest, I don't think I paid my dad back the 20 bucks he lent me when I went out as a 15-year-old. Much less paying a dollar of rent to either of my parents at any point in my life.
This story of Hunter Biden paying this rent, and for people that don't know the story, there is a document that apparently Hunter Biden filled out. Marina Devine, New York Post, she's also the author of Laptop from Hell, put this out there, and now we're hearing that the House Oversight Committee is going to probe investigating these suspicious bank records concerning Hunter Biden's recorded $49,910 in rent. The other thing that could be a big problem for the president now is if you look back at his tax returns from the time when Hunter Biden put this on official background check form for another place and put the residence and put down his license number and everything was accurate on this piece of paper, doesn't match up with the president's tax returns of anybody paying him $49,000 a month for rent. That could be a problem in so many different ways for the president.
Well, and let's explain this story because it can be confusing and it's important to understand what happened. Look, the punchline of this is that based on what we know now, there are two, and I think only two possibilities. One, this is corruption, or two, this is dishonesty. Or I suppose there's option three, it could be both. But let's walk through what it is. So Hunter Biden filled out a background screening request in California. He was applying to get into a Shishi residential area, and he had to fill out this background screening request. And I am looking at it. I'm reading the background screening request right now. It's handwritten. The name, Robert Hunter Biden. It gives the address. It is his father's home in Wilmington, Delaware. And it includes also his Social Security number. It's blocked out, but I'm told the last four digits that are not blocked out are Hunter Biden's Social Security numbers. It also includes his driver's license. Part of it's blocked out, but I'm told the last three digits that are visible are Hunter Biden's driver's license. All of this is handwritten. And it says his current residence, and he indicates, number one, it asks, do you own, lease, or family friend? Now, Hunter Biden indicates that he owns it. He does not, I believe, in fact, own the house that mom and dad live in. But
correct,
he claims he does. And by the way, there's a box that says family friend. So if he's saying I live with my dad, the obvious box to check is family friend, that it's my dad's house. But he also puts, there's a box that says monthly rent. And Hunter Biden handwrites $49,910. Now, this raises a gazillion questions all at once. Number one, I think there is no reason to doubt the accuracy of this document. If it were not, in fact, a real document handwritten by Hunter Biden, we would expect the White House to be screaming that from the mountaintops. It has all the indicia on the face of being something Hunter Biden filled out. If it is, in fact, accurate, and I don't believe they're going to come back with an argument that it's a forgery, they're not going to dispute that, then he presumably was being dishonest and lying when he said that Hunter Biden owns his father's house. But he claimed that he was paying his father $49,910 a month. Now, let's stop for a second. I want to ask folks listening to this pod, have you ever paid $50,000 a month in rent for anything? I certainly haven't.
Yeah.
And I paid a few thousand, but 50 grand yeah. a month. And the thing says monthly rent. It doesn't say annual rent. It says monthly rent. And that is an astonishing figure. And then I want you to ratchet it up a little more. Have you ever paid it to your father? If it is the case that Joe Biden was extracting 50 grand a month from his son, if that is true, as you noted, that is apparently not indicated on Joe Biden's tax return, so it raises real issues of criminality potentially on Joe Biden's side. But number two, we know that Burisma, the Ukrainian natural gas company that had Hunter Biden on the board, at one period it appears it paid him $50,000 a month, at another period it appears it paid him $83,000 a month. When it was paying him $50,000 a month, you know what $49,910 is really, really close to?
Really close to exactly what he was making from the board of Burisma monthly.
You know, it really is striking. If it is the case that Burisma, the Ukrainian natural gas company, cut a check to Hunter Biden for 50 grand a month, and then Hunter turned around and cut a check for $49,910 to daddy, you got to ask, what kind of dad lets his poor drug addict son keep $90 of it?
Yeah.
Like, well, it's one thing. We all know the phrase 10% for the big guy. This is a lot more than 10%.
A lot more. But it's a great way if you're wanting to funnel money, launder money. Yep. This is how you would pull this off. And look, you and I have both probably done this a lot in our careers. When you see something that you think is...
To be clear, funneled money, laundered money.
Yeah, no, not
I wouldn't say a lot.
A lot, right. There you go. But when we hear stories like this that you want to go, there's no way. I always look, and you're a lawyer, first and foremost, in your career. You probably said, all right, well, hold on a second. Maybe it was an accident and he meant to put annual rent of $49,000. Is that the number that matches up with Joe Biden's tax return? And it was an accident, right? Because you could technically do that. It could be an accident. That number still doesn't match up. And that's where it gets very interesting for me, Senator, is the fact that, look, it's not like he accidentally put in the annual rent. Because I could believe a $49,910 for the year to daddy for to live in his house in Delaware and say, Dad, I got to pay you something. But so you go to Joe Biden's tax returns. They were public. And again, so we have them when he was the vice president. That number still doesn't match up and doesn't even come close to the number they reported on his taxes, which goes back to the issue of funneling money. If you want to funnel money to your dad and you got to give him some cash through your business dealings, this would be a brilliant way of pulling this off.
Well, and this is where we just need more facts. I don't want to jump to conclusions. The document on its face says this was the monthly rent, but there's a weird coincidence in that the number is exactly the same as another document indicates was the deposit for an office at a place called Sweden House, $49,910. That's a weird number. And the fact that a one-time deposit is the exact same number as what Hunter Biden indicated was his monthly rent, it is possible. So I'm going to give the most benign explanation. This, if the White House spinmeisters are looking for a story to go with, this is probably the best one, which is Hunter screwed up. He didn't know what he was doing. The guy has serious substance abuse issues, so he filled out a bunch of stuff, and it's all nonsense and false. And that might be true. I don't know if it is or not. That's the most innocuous explanation, because if, assuming this is a real document, and as I said, the White House has not disputed that, if it is the case that Hunter was paying mom and dad 50 grand a month, or just short of that, to stay in their house, that is corruption through and through. There's no other explanation. Let's be clear. If 50 grand a month went from Hunter to Joe Biden, in any operating justice system, Joe Biden should be indicted.
Well, right. And why don't you say that again? Because that's something I don't believe that you've ever said before. And I want to make sure that everybody understands why you're saying what you just said.
Okay. When Hunter Biden was on the board of Burisma, Joe Biden was the sitting vice president of the United States. We've talked at great length on this podcast about how Burisma took a drug-using, ne'er-do-well son of the vice president who spoke no Ukrainian and knew nothing about natural gas and put him on the board and paid him at one point $50,000 a month, at another point $83,000 a month, despite the fact that he had no useful skills other than daddy was vice president.
Didn't speak the language and didn't work in the industry.
That screamed corruption on the face of it. But this is the other piece that makes it not just corrupt in the colloquial sense, but felonious. Look, a bribe is when you pay a government official for an official act. You know, you look at the old school style of putting 50 grand in a paper bag, walking up to a government official and saying, here's 50 grand. Vote yes or no on the following thing. That's a bribe. You remember Abscam?
Yeah.
Where they showed up with the briefcases full of cash. In this case, you have a Ukrainian company owned by a corrupt Ukrainian oligarch paying Hunter Biden 50 grand a year. If he was turning around and giving that directly to daddy, while daddy was the sitting vice president leading Obama's Ukraine policy, that is bribery, and that is bribery that should come with real jail time. Now, we don't have all of those pieces, but we have Hunter claiming he was giving his dad just under 50 grand a year. If that is true, the evidence of Biden family corruption has jumped an order of magnitude higher.
All right, I want to get your take on this, Senator, but before we get to that, I want to tell you about our good friends over at Patriot Mobile. If you've got a cell phone, you need to check out Patriot Mobile, because every time you use your phone, every time you send a text, and every time you pay your bill, you will be supporting conservative causes that we believe in. We're talking about defending the First and Second Amendment rights, the rights of the unborn, helping with adoptions, funding of those adoptions. That's why we love Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is a conservative Christian cell phone company, the only one. And instead of giving your money to Big Mobile, where they're fighting against your traditional family values, Patriot Mobile was started so that you could work with a company that actually made a difference with every phone call you make. Patriot Mobile also gives you nationwide coverage. They give you unlimited talk and text. They give you the exact same coverage you have right now because you'll be using the exact same cell phone towers. Except when you pay your bill, you'll be standing up for the values you believe in. So check them out, patriotmobile.com/verdict. That's patriotmobile.com/verdict. Use the promo code VERDICT. You can also call them 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. Or patriotmobile.com/verdict. Well, you look at the cash here, and I just want to throw the numbers out there so people understand the basic math here. If Hunter Biden's telling the truth, this would have mean that he paid, or as I would describe it, funneled $594,120 in rent in the months after Biden departed his role as the vice president in January of 2017. Also, when it comes to these boxes and this document indicating he owned the Delaware home where classified documents were being stored at the time, that brings up, Senator, the other part of the story here, and that creates a lot of questions as to why was he paying rent at the residence that he allegedly owned, and he had access to apparently these classified documents based on what we know may very well have dealt with Ukraine. That brings up the special prosecutor aspect of this. And again, to put it back into perspective, President Joe Biden, Senator, only listed $19,800 in rents, plural, received in 2017. That is according to his tax returns that year. The president then listed no rents received in 2018. So these are his tax returns. That's what he had out there. Only that he got 19,800 rents received in 17. His son claims he owns the house that he's paying rent at, and he would have had access to the classified documents in the garage while he was living there, while he was paying rent on the house he claims he owns. If there's anything that seems screwed up but totally makes sense, it would be in the Biden family based on now what we know.
Well, you're right, and you made an important clarification there that is worth noting. On the face of this document, it says current residence, and it gives a move-in date and a move-out date. And the move-in date, it looks like initially he wrote 1-2017, and then it looks like it's crossed out and turned to 3-2017. So let's assume it's March of 2017, and it puts the move-out date as February of 2018. So on the face of this, these payments of monthly rent started 2 months after Joe Biden stepped down as vice president. So he wasn't technically being bribed as a sitting vice president. But if it was the case that he was being paid $50,000 a month, if this was effectively money laundering from Ukrainian sources or elsewhere, then it still raises a serious prospect. You can't bribe someone after the fact, particularly if they had an expectation of receiving that bribe. Now, what's confusing about this is that this document has at the top, it says current address, and that's where he lists Joe Biden's home address. And then it has below it, it says current residence. Now, it's a strange document. I'm not sure what the difference is between current address and current residence. And here, Hunter Biden has filled out something that says Owasco PC, and that's where he says it's $49,910. So it is possible there's some business address and that money is not being paid to mom and dad. But at the very minimum, a DOJ that gave a damn and cared about the law would be investigating that and figuring out the answer to it. And even if the Biden Department of Justice won't, I have every confidence that the House of Representatives is going to investigate this thoroughly.
How complicated, Senator, does this get from a standpoint of you have this investigation into Hunter Biden, right, in Delaware. You don't have a special prosecutor involved. But now it's clear that Hunter Biden is claiming that he had access and was living at the residence where these classified documents, where we do have a special prosecutor involved, was that he would have access to this. That would also mean that there would probably be a lot of the people that he was around based on his laptop, shady individuals. We know from his own pictures and his own laptop and his own book that he was meeting with the worst people in the world in the United States of America. They were coming here. There were Russian oligarchs that were coming to America. There were people and people that worked with the Chinese Communist Party and people that worked with the intelligence community within the Chinese Communist Party that were coming and meeting with him in America. We also know that he was meeting with people from Ukraine and leaders in Ukraine that were meeting with him here in America. Imagine having these top secret documents where you're hanging out and dealing with substance abuse issues. How do you not look at that if you're a special prosecutor? And does the Delaware investigation into Hunter Biden have the ability to start asking and connecting some of these dots? Or are they just going to stay separate the entire time?
So, look, they certainly have the ability. And this is where the special counsel investigation into Joe Biden potentially could expand as well. And we talked about previously on this podcast how I'm concerned that the special counsel was Rod Rosenstein's right hand, was a protege of Chris Wray, and that Merrick Garland put him in because he wanted a special counsel who would protect the White House. I hope that's not the case. But that, given the behavior of the Biden DOJ, there is reason to be deeply suspicious. I will say when it comes to the Hunter Biden issues, what we've discussed at great length, it's not an issue of concern, public concern, that Hunter Biden is a troubled soul with substance abuse issues. There are a great many people in the United States and on planet Earth that struggle with those. What makes this a public concern is the connection that Hunter Biden, by all appearances, had a business of selling access to daddy as a high government official And not just access to daddy to, say, some run-of-the-mill corporate lobbyist in Washington. That happens a lot in Washington. But selling access to daddy to foreign nations, corrupt foreign oligarchs, whether in Ukraine or communist China, and cashing out in the seven figures, cashing out in massive amounts. And, you know, Ben, early on when we started Verdict, one of the things we talked about was the payments from Burisma. And actually, I got a call from someone who was previously a very, very senior official in the federal government. I'm going to keep him anonymous. But he had an insight, and he's someone who's known Joe Biden 40-plus years. He said, look, even if not a penny of this money made it to Joe Biden, when a parent has a ne'er-do-well child who's an adult child who's had enormous challenges, that can be enormously expensive to that parent, having to deal with all of the challenges that adult child has. And so this former senior government official said, it's a massive benefit to Joe Biden to just take the burden of Hunter Biden off his hands, to say, hey, we'll give him an income stream so you, Joe, don't have to cover that. So that's an indirect way those millions of dollars benefited Joe Biden. But if this application is accurate, then we're not just dealing with an indirect benefit. We're dealing with Hunter Biden basically becomes the bagman, taking effectively foreign money and delivering it to dad. This needs serious investigation. And if we had a functioning press corps, every question at the White House press briefing tomorrow should be about this.
Would be about it. It wouldn't even be up for debate, but they're deliberately protecting this White House at all costs.
They are the Praetorian Guard. They are the defenders and the propagandists. And in fact, some of the early stories on this are already, you know, they begin with, you know, Republicans pounce. That's their favorite thing. Look, his own son claims he's paying him 50 grand a month, or he was paying him 50 grand a month. Like that, there are two and only two options. That was a lie. And we'll see if the White House goes there and says, oh, that's our story. Hunter Biden was just lying. Or if he wasn't lying, that is corrupt. I believe there is zero innocent explanation for Hunter Biden paying his father 50 grand a month in quote unquote rent.
Yeah.
So if those payments happen, we're talking serious criminal activity. If they didn't, if Hunter lied, we need to demonstrate that with clear and real evidence.
Well, it's exactly like you said earlier, and James Comer said this on the House side, quote, many questions must be answered about the Biden's family influence peddling and President Biden's mishandling of classified documents for his time as vice president. And I think Comer said those two things together on purpose, saying these two are interconnected now. You can't take them apart because the family members were at the residence during the time these classified documents were there. And if you can connect these two, then, Matt, we might actually start to get some real answers here. Thank goodness that we, as you've said many times, that the Republicans got back control of the House, because finally somebody's going to look in this. Lord knows it's not going to be the media.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
The 2024 election is upon us, and the war on masculinity in America today is more blatant than ever. I want you to know that now is the time to choose strength and vitality over weakness and complacency. The problem is men's testosterone levels are off a cliff historically, at all-time low. And isn't that what the liberal elite want? A weak and docile underclass. Thankfully, the Patriots at Chalk, CHOQ, are here to help real American men take back the right to proudly maximize their masculinity by boosting your testosterone levels up to 20% over 90 days. Now look, I've been taking the Chalk Male Vitality Stack for over a year now, and it works. Period. It's manufactured right here in the U.S. Chalk's natural herbal supplements are clinically proven to have game-changing effects on your energy, your focus, your mood, And guess what? Over the last year, I've lost almost 50 pounds because I'm working out again and I feel so much more active than I ever had before, especially hitting over 40. So maximize your masculinity today at Chalk, C-H-O-Q.com. Use promo code Ben for a massive discount on any subscription for life. That's C-H-O-Q.com. Promo code Ben for lifetime savings on any subscription. Limited time offer. Subscriptions cancelable anytime. CHOQ.com. Promo code Ben.
Which brings me, Senator, to another amazing story that's getting barely any attention. And that is that the U.S. has been overcounting COVID deaths. Before I play this audio from CNN with Dr. Nguyen, who used to be over at Planned Parenthood, the U.S. has been overcounting COVID deaths and hospitalizations. Shocker there. I say that sarcastically. Are you surprised at all by this? Because I was not. It was like, to me, I'm like, yep, of course, that's what they were doing.
Yeah, no, look, I think it's clearly right. But go ahead and play the audio, because the shocker is seeing CNN say this out loud.
Yeah, and I'll set this up for everybody listening. This is Dr. Nguyen admitting to Don Lemon and Poppy Harlow and whoever the other host is on their new morning show that no one watches. And
by
the way,
I got to say, Ben, the fact that you worked at CNN for years was just demonstrated by that, because I certainly couldn't name who the people were she were talking to, and I'm betting you're one of six people on planet Earth that could.
Yeah, I know. I got two out of three. That's MVP all-star status if you're counting in sports books. But you listen to this conversation, and you can tell it's cringeworthy for all of them. Listen to Don Lemon's setup, and then listen to Dr. Nguyen's response.
Talk about her op-ed. Doctor, thank you so much. Listen, I know that you don't want to, and we don't want to underplay the risk of COVID after 3 years. It is still a leading cause of death in this country. It's the story I just read about the number of deaths increasing. Can you explain, and infections, can you explain why you believe COVID deaths are being overcounted?
I think it's important for us to be intellectually honest in this case, and that includes recognizing that circumstances have changed. At the beginning of the pandemic, we had a situation where there were many people dying from COVID pneumonia, including healthy young people were dying because of severe shortness of breath, difficulty breathing. They were hospitalized because of it. Then, as a result of vaccines and as a result of a lot of people getting COVID and having some level of immunity to it, we're seeing far fewer cases of that kind of severe COVID and severe COVID pneumonia specifically. And yet hospitals are still routinely testing everyone who's getting admitted for COVID. And so we're seeing many people who are hospitalized with COVID. And I think it's important to separate out who is being hospitalized because of it, because there are a lot of people who are still very concerned about their risk from COVID, and we need to give them the most accurate data possible so that they can better gauge their risk. If there are people who are still not resuming indoor dining or going to the gym or socializing. And I think we have to give them the most accurate reporting possible.
Senator, that's one hell of an answer. We're fear-mongering still, yet then we're telling you that we're overcounting COVID deaths and overcounting hospitalizations, which means the death tracker before the presidential election was all propaganda so you wouldn't vote for Donald Trump.
Look, there are a number of things that scream out from that. Number one, what she's saying is obviously and indisputably correct. Number two, it was obviously and indisputably correct 2 years ago at the height of the pandemic when CNN was engaged in their pandemic porn every minute of the day screaming that we're all going to die from this. It was true then. And by the way, lots of people, including you, including me, were making that point then. As I said on this podcast, there was a meme I saw online that I thought was particularly funny, which is, woman eaten by great white shark dies of COVID. It showed just how absurd it was that every death, you're in a car wreck, COVID killed you. You stub your toe and get an infected ingrown toenail, COVID killed you. Whatever it was, they wanted to blame it on COVID. You're 98 years old and dying of old age, and you've got COVID. COVID killed you. Mind you, that you presumably weren't going to live forever. Otherwise, it was COVID.
Well, we had whistleblowers. I'll give you a great example. In my hometown of Memphis is St. Jude Children's Research Hospital and Le Bonheur, two great children's hospitals. and they categorized some kids that passed away as COVID deaths when the parents came out and said to the media, this was several years ago now, my child died of cancer, did not die of COVID. We knew they were terminal, and they died of the cancer that weakened their body, and then they categorized their deaths as COVID, and people were asking questions. Why are they doing this? Why are they acting like even when a child's dying of cancer, which is horrific enough, are you politicizing the reason for death on their death certificate? Is, yep, we're going to chalk that one up to COVID as well.
Well, one element of it was that there were significant financial incentives to categorize
huge
hospitalizations or deaths as coming from COVID. And so
I got to ask you the question. I have to ask you, because everybody else listening right now is asking the same thing. The financial incentive center, was that money being paid by the insurance companies, or was that coming through the government, or both? Because was this a money grab for tax dollars by categorizing it as COVID?
It was tax dollars, and to blame is both the administration and Congress, who in response to COVID, look, when the COVID pandemic began, it was reasonable to be concerned. And if you were very elderly, if you were very vulnerable, if you had cancer, if your immune system was compromised, that could be very dangerous. But what happened is the media and the Democrats took what was a reasonable concern for people that were very vulnerable. And from the beginning, we should have focused on protecting the very vulnerable. And they used it as an excuse to restrict everybody else, to restrict young, healthy people, to go after kids. It never made sense. If you were 98 years old and had cancer and immune issues, yes, you should have been protected. But they deliberately cooked the books. And the thing that is so remarkable about CNN saying this is Dr. Leanna Wen, she knew that then. It's not that these people are stupid. They knew it then. But if you said it then...
Well, and she was a CNN medical analyst back then, making
yes.
a killing, going on TV five times a day,
yep.
telling you that you're going to kill grandma and die if you don't get the vaccine, which will protect you from ever getting COVID, when they knew that was a lie. And if you don't get the vaccine...
denouncing people for saying what she just said right now. CNN treated you as a crazy tinfoil hat-wearing COVID denier if you made the obvious point that someone killed in a car wreck that has COVID didn't die from COVID. That was treated as, oh, you crazy people, you know. And by the way, that's the kind of thing Twitter was suppressing. Twitter was deplatforming at the request of the federal government. This is where the Twitter files comes into it. This is all, it was a propaganda effort from big tech, from big government, from the Democrats, from the corrupt corporate media. And the consequences have been utterly devastating for the country. And I don't know how CNN can get up and say, hey, you know, we've been lying to you for 3 years, but now we're not. Hey, all's good. No one remembers that, right?
It's easy, because Don Lemon said, quote, let's bring in Dr. Wen to talk about her op-ed. Doctor, thank you so much. I don't want to, you know, again, we don't want to underplay the risk of COVID after 3 years. It's still a leading cause of death in this country. We just got rid of the death counters on TV because we like the guy who's the president now. And then she says in her very first sentence, look, I think it's important for us to be intellectually honest in this case.
And she says it was different before. And you know what the difference was? Donald Trump was president there. Yes, no matter how you died, it was because of COVID. Even if you're still alive, you're probably going to die because of COVID. And the only answer is elect Democrats.
All right. I wasn't going to play the senator, but I have to let you hear Don Lemon's follow-up question, right? Because you just said, she just kind of said, you know, everybody calm down, but the still leading cause of death is COVID. Listen to the follow-up question from Don Lemon carefully. You're going to love it.
Just a quick follow. You're not suggesting that hospitals stop checking people, testing people for COVID if they come in.
That's right. I think that there's a better way to do this. And actually, one of the people that I interviewed was Shira Duran, who is an infectious disease physician and hospital epidemiologist at Tufts Medical Center. She and her colleagues came up with a different measure, which is using dexamethasone. So dexamethasone is a steroid that's used to treat cases of severe COVID. And she and her colleagues found that in cases of hospitalizations that do not involve dexamethasone, it's very unlikely that the primary cause is COVID. And so the state of...
I just have to stop there. So she's actually saying the COVID test at this point in the hospital should not be used, and it's pretty much worthless, and we should actually use a drug if it is administered to people as a way to count who actually died of COVID or had severeness with COVID or with the ICU for COVID. Why didn't somebody say this a couple years ago?
Because CNN would have taken you off air. They would have branded you a denier. They would have treated you like a heretic. Social media would have banned you. And it would be one thing if CNN is saying, okay, we were mistaken. We apologized. We thought we were right. We were operating under limited information, but now we've learned. They don't admit any of that. There is no error. There is no rearview mirror at CNN or MSNBC or any of the other corrupt corporate media. They've been lying to you forever and ever and ever. And now they'll just shift and hope nobody remembers. And it's, there is a reason the American people have so much distrust in institutions. And it's because today's institutions that used to have some modicum of integrity are utterly broken, and they are willing to lie, and they bear no responsibility. The Washington Post and the New York Times won Pulitzer Prizes for reporting stories that were based on a fraud about the alleged Trump-Russia collusion.
And they never took the awards back, by the way.
They never took the awards back. They never apologized for it. There is no shame. CNN doesn't feel a moment of shame airing this story saying we lied to you for 2 years, but this is CNN.
Well, hey, I will say this. I listen to this crap so other people don't have to. And that's why I saved Senator the best for last, because there's many of you that may be asking the same question I was asking, which is, okay, when it deals with these hospitalizations for COVID, my question is, right, how much have they been overstating COVID? You ready? Because she's going to give you a glimpse into just how overstated COVID may be actually being counted in hospitals. Here is her definition of it, and then I want to get your reaction.
Massachusetts actually turned to use this measure. So they're reporting both the total hospitalizations with COVID as well as the total hospitalizations with dexamethasone, which are the hospitalizations for which COVID is the primary cause. And they found that about 30% of the current hospitalizations are actually for COVID as opposed to 70% with COVID.
Can we just stop there, Senator? She just told America, obviously, at the very end of the interview, which should have been the lead, right? If you're being intellectually honest, to quote her, you would have come on TV and said, in a shocking Massachusetts COVID tracking, patients primarily hospitalized for COVID is completely different than what the number of hospital patients with coronavirus actually is in America. How big of a difference? We're talking about 70 all the way down to 30%. That's how wrong we've been getting it for 3 years. And they waited till the very end to just slide that in there for you, the real info and the number you needed to hear.
Yeah, look, what she's admitting is that for 3 years, the deaths have been wildly exaggerated. For 3 years, the hospitalizations have been wildly exaggerated. It's been deliberate. It's been done by government. It's been done by Dr. Fauci. It's been done by the corrupt corporate media. It's been done by big tech. It's been done to the enormous profit of Big Pharma, who is in bed with everyone here. And it has been done with everyone knowing they were lying to you. And part of the way they get away lying to you, you may wonder, why is the Democrat Party and the corrupt corporate media so invested in censorship? Why do they hate Elon Musk so much? Because if you are going to make it a business model to lie to the American people, the biggest threat to you is that someone will shine sunlight and tell the truth. They knew they were lying, and they know it today. It wasn't accidental. It was deliberate.
Yeah. And if you think, by the way, that this is just going to end, I'll end very quickly with this story. The 11th Circuit of Appeals heard arguments over a federal mask mandate on Tuesday after a Florida federal judge struck down a mask mandate for planes and other transportation last April. The CDC quickly countered by requesting an appeal through the Justice Department. That appeal drew criticism from the U.S. Travel Association, which, along with other industry groups, have been pressuring the Biden administration for months to end the mask mandate for travel. We don't have the mask mandate for travel right now. There's not a bunch of people that are dying because of this. If we had gotten it wrong, it would have clearly played out by now. Yet this administration is still refusing to just say, okay, fine, let's walk away from this. They still want to fight and still have the power to tell you to put a mask on while you're traveling.
Look, no rational or sane person following the evidence and science supports a mask mandate for airplanes, for everyone. Remember, these are the people that forced you to put your two-year-old children in masks or threw families off planes because their two-year-old was crying rather than be masked. It is indefensible. And by the way, let me be clear. Number one, I'm on planes every week. I spend a lot of time on a lot of airplanes. Right now, today, there are fewer than 20% of the passengers wearing masks. In many instances, it's 10% or less. It varies on if you're flying to some bright blue city, it may get as high as 20%, but it's usually much lower than that. Number two, Democrats don't wear masks. In the Senate, Democrats don't wear masks. They don't wear masks in big groups. They don't wear masks in small groups. Only the most sort of, I actually, when I walk through airports and I see the people wearing masks, unless someone is frail and ill. I understand someone, if you're taking your grandmother and she's, you know, she's sure, really frail and you want to protect her. That's reasonable. Or maybe someone has a disease that makes them vulnerable. I'm all for take steps, protect yourself if you have a medical condition that makes you vulnerable to all sorts of things, including the cold or flu. But when you see young, healthy people wearing masks, when you see, and you do sometimes see now, parents that put little kids in masks, you just wonder, okay, what is it going through your head that makes you want to do this to your children, to your family? Are you that scared? Do you believe what the propaganda so much? Are you just so addicted to virtue signaling that it is like your gay pride flag? You got to show that your virtue. But the amazing thing is, look, when the federal court struck down the mask mandate on planes, you and I both saw the videos that were taken spontaneously on all sorts of people's phones of passengers just cheering aloud and pulling their masks off. And yet, yesterday, the Biden administration was in the federal court of appeals arguing, we want the power to reimpose the mask mandate. We want that. We don't want to give it up. At the same time, Biden's trying to victory lap COVID is over. So they want power. They want power to arbitrarily infringe your life. And yet they want to claim to have also solved the crisis. And it's part of why you're seeing CNN acknowledge the deaths are exaggerated. Why? Because they want the Democrats to get credit for it.
Yeah.
See, you know, the start.
They're in
of,
charge, of her, and they want to believe that they're the ones that somehow fixed all your problems, and this is the biggest problem they're fixing right now.
And by the way, it's the same way, to get into a different topic, they cook the numbers on global warming. So if you look at the numbers on global warming, they adjust the temperatures from long ago down. They adjust the temperatures from today up, and then they say, gosh, look, the temperatures we've adjusted up are higher than the temperatures we adjusted down. Look at what's going on. When you cook the books, you can get the results you want. In this case now, they want to show that Biden and the Democrats have cured COVID, and one of the best ways to do it is, well, if we can magically reduce hospitalizations by 70% by suddenly acknowledging what was true 3 years ago, then voila. Through the power of crooked bookkeeping, the Democrats have solved everything.
Well, and that scary part is one day when the government's going to really ask a favor of the American people that's based in fact, no one's going to want to listen to them. Senator, As always, it's been a pleasure. If you're listening, don't forget, hit that subscribe or auto download button. We'll have a audio and video podcast coming out on Friday, so you can watch it on YouTube, on Facebook as well. Make sure you write a 5-star review and hit that subscribe button. Share this podcast with your family and friends, or if you just want to make a liberal friend go crazy, it's a nice thing to send them. And we will see you all back here on Friday morning.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18+.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.